art committee meeting February 12th, 2026. We're going to begin with our roll call.
Thank you. Toma and Aston, Mike.
Bethel Haggerty here.
David.
David Riley, bro.
Erica, Vicky Joe, Rick.
Rick Dale Flores here.
Judy.
Judy Blair.
And Taryn.
Jordan Walker.
And
Ronald Davis here.
We can move on to public comment. Do we have any?
We have no written comment. I did think a member of the public might want to come, but it was regarding a specific item, so maybe he'll join a little later.
Or oh. That.
Okay. It was revised.
Front. Oh, yeah. I'm that guy. Okay, great. Well, we can move on to the approval of the January 8th, 2026 regular action minute. Does anyone have any changes to the meeting minutes or clarification? No? Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you. Ready for roll call? Summer.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
David.
Yes.
Okay. And Rick.
Yes.
And Judy.
Yes.
And Turin.
Yes.
And Ron.
Yes.
Moving along to our action items, we have 5.1, Black Program for Visual Art Grants and Donated Works.
I just wanted to give you a little background before I started sharing visuals. The visual art grants have never had any plaques associated with them. There wasn't budget in it, wasn't discussed with the program's development. The plaques that are found throughout the city for project development have always varied significantly. The city's exterior plaques can vary. The interior plaques are pretty much set by ADA, their location, their typography, what's in Braille, what's not. I don't think it makes a lot of sense for the plaque spend time or energy talking about the type of the interior plaques. But there is a question specifically with one of the visual art grants that had tours through the review of Packard Jennings' visual art grant installation sculptures, where there were the tours included a lot of talk about what species was being attracted to it, what its materials were, and there was a real sense of a missing element of interpretive. So more than a plaque, but actually an interpretive panel. The Rotten City sculpture that was recently put in at Powell Hollis, I'll show a picture of that, but is an example where there is some interpretation. We've had interpretation for our mural on the Greenway, which is an example of that. So there is some precedent for some external artworks to do that. This wouldn't be funded through the visual art grant program. It'd be more like you'd be talking about a program tonight as a recommendation, a plaque program, and sort of thinking about when is that strategically used, when is it important that a plaque's missing, and when is it not particularly relevant. There are some sites that are interior and maybe likely to move, and I'd hate for you to have a plaque that was more permanent than the work. So thinking back through, I want to make sure that the person outside isn't wanting to speak on this item. Do we know? I just want to.
He's been there since.
What?
Like
what,
5 o'clock.
Right. Do we know if it's there's soccer? Do we know if it, does anyone know Packard? Does anyone know? Okay, I do. So. Changing up things. Okay. So I thought there were two attachments to the report in your packet. One is kind of just a review of maybe some works that need talks, or maybe have there's a question of it. We can talk through that context. Regarding visual art grants and donations. And then there are some locations where this occurs. So let's just walk through those. At the Senior Center, there have been two visual art grants, one by Swama here in attendance, and another by Juan Lopez. Both are not murals, and one of the thoughts is that murals have not previously had plaques through our mural program or a visual art grant, and there are other ways to include the artist's name, year of installation. We might want to standardize how what murals include and making sure that that information is available. We have had QR codes and stickers, but only one artist has availed themselves, so maybe we need to tighten up either what's provided or that we do it ourselves, or how does that get implemented if we want to see that with greater implementation. But this work, which was placed in an alcove, it's very nice and aesthetic. And I will say that our plaques are not particularly pretty, and we'll get to that after I go through the site. So I'll show you the examples of that. But this is certainly a location where people may ask, where did this come from? Who created it? Many of the other works in the building have plaques, so it's a bit of an anomaly in that context. Juan Lopez's work, he has this work in the Senior Center, and there are a number over at the ECCL site. There are four works there, two of which have plaques, two do not. One has his name integrated within the work. I'll show you that. But in this site, there is neither integrated in the work nor a plaque. There isn't really this mural goes from edge of wall to edge of mosaic. It's from edge of wall to edge of wall. So probably a plaque would need to be on the opposing wall if we were to do that. Or it may be possible to actually ask the artist to add something. Could be an alternative to adding a plaque. Across the hall is actually a doorway into an office building. So it may aesthetically look as if a plaque is explaining who's in the room. And so I'm just not sure it'll read that it's about this work. So we may want to pursue a different alternative, given how he did do this. And I believe I have a picture in another work. So these are external panels. Because of the site-specific circumstances of the work, I'm not sure that standardized plaques or procedures for these. This is an example of where he has it. You can see it gets a little foggy when it's over here, but on the left side, this is the one work that was funded by visual art grants. The other three works are either the school district community promotion grants. So this is at ECCL. The artist's name and his website and the year it was installed are included just on a fairly visible, easy to read tile, which might be possible to do. It may have been easier before it was installed, but there may be a simple way for the artist to add that for the Senior Center. This is at ECCL, and just use it as an example for an alternative. And then Steve Bronson's work was installed here at this location on Fire Station 35, but the fire department or county's office of fire has not been certain that they wanted to keep this work. And there is a little bit of uncertainty about the space available. Maybe there's something between that pole and the window, but it is possible they're thinking about visual art grants this year. If they don't do it this year, they might think about that in 2 years. This work was anticipated as part of a series. That series was never additional works installed or funded, and the artist is now deceased. So there was some thought of relocating this work to ECDC. The fence there is sort of, you know, kids who like firefighters and people in uniforms and kind of an inspiration. So that might be possible. There's also, I think that's enough to be said about it, but so it may not be appropriate to add a plaque here, but that would kind of be a deviation from do all visual art grants either get artists installed names or plaques. So just I'm trying to kind of work you through. Yeah.
Specifically on that, you said the fire department might not want it there. Isn't that an Emeryville building? And just does the fire department control what it looks like? I know the fire department is not Emeryville now. That's another fact.
Yeah. I think if there was a conflict, that it is an Emeryville building. The building is under control of Emeryville. The visual art grants were not intended to be something that the occupant of the building didn't want. And so the fire department was the signatory on it. And this is maybe something I think you can just flip those down. I think when it was installed, there were discussions at the time of if it were not to be permanent here, then could it go to ECDC and the city and those in charge of the contract that the city has with the fire department was aware of that, and I was aware of that, and there was a discussion at that time that possibly relocating to ECDC.
But wouldn't, if there's a plaque, could the plaque be relocated at the same time? People always want to know what things are.
Sure. Yes, a plaque could go at the same time. Yeah, so a decision to install a plaque with an anticipating to move. Yes.
Isn't there a NEDCON on the other? Isn't that?
Yes, there is a NEDCON piece. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out how to change. There's a NEDCON piece on the front, of this building, so around the corner. Mm-hmm. We are on the south side of that, maybe that's 63rd. On 63rd Street, looking at this, looking up Hollis Street, and the NEDCON is on
west.
North. Yeah. Well, it's also on a facade that is not facing Hollis, but it is on the Hollis side of the street. And that work also does not have a plaque, and I didn't even think about it, but certainly if we were to put a plaque here, we would probably want to consider the NEDCON piece at the same time, so that might be something to add to your decisions tonight. And then I can pull that up if we want to look at it. Excellent timing, Patrick.
Well, make of time,
So there has been a discussion of exterior interpretive panels associated with Packard Jennings' 3 birdhouses installed as visual art grants. One is at the north end of the north, is on the north side of the York Community Organic Garden on Doyle Street. Another is at Doyle Hollis Park, also on the north side of that. And then one is at the northernmost one is at the bike peg counter that is adjacent to the Emeryville Greenway, so mid block but north of 66th Street. I think in all 3 instances, they are oriented Well, I know, and you'll get, I'll go through it and then get to the public comment. But the all three are oriented with the entrance to the birdhouse from the back of the building, and the orientation of the building is leading that front door for the bird to the street. Not because it's the street, but because that is the preferred habitat entry point. It's designed for the habitat. And there is commentary, I think the artist would be happy to speak to, about that juxtaposition. But these works for the walking public, as they come up the sidewalk, are seeing a facade that is oriented away from them. So that's part of perhaps the need for interpretation. These are tall. They're well above the pedestrian's eyescape. Signage that was oriented to a pedestrian could both serve it for interpretation, but also bring the eye to it to then go, what is above me? So that it serves a couple functions in there.
So that would be a completely different sign for a pole.
It would. And on my next slide projection, the slideshow that I'm gonna stop sharing this right now. Okay. No. So now I just wanted to go through the typology of these indoor plaques. Standard, when I said, they're kind of 8 inches by 8 inches. They can be changed in their color based on the background. They can be in other metals, but we use a plastic. They have a standard set of pieces of information that we provide, both in terms of the dimensions and the materials, the name of the work, the artist, and then the number in the collection. And these works are getting numbers in our collection and are recorded in part of our insurance program, and so those exist. They just haven't been provided as communication. These are examples of interior works for the mosaics that are over at ECCL. So there are simpler metal plaques because we are a city facility and we have those ADA requirements. I can't offer you this as an option. But this other option that we talked about a little earlier with the artists integrating it is another way to do that. And then as I referenced, these are three alternatives for exterior mounted interpretation. So precedent that we have done this before. Joey Rose's, to the right, Joey Rose's first mural commissioned by the city. We had two panels, one for each of the buildings that explain each of the species that are found on the board. There's a reproduction of the mural and then a numbering of each of those and that information provided. To the left of that is the Rotten City Sculptural District, and there's a narrative, and it's carved by the artist into wood and installed adjacent. To the left, a more traditional metal plaque, also on the Greenway, is not commemorative of art, but is an example of that typology. For specifically the Greenway, however, the Emeryville Historical Society has these pretty simple strapped elements. It could be holding these same kind of straps attached Ned or Ken Coleman's bugs to this building on the columns. So they can be holding items of greater weight. So depending on the intention with interpretation, probably it needs to be an element bigger than this if it were to both interpret the species, the art, have some basic information about the artist and the work, and then the sponsorship by the city. It's not going to fit on something like this. But this is an example where a QR code is integrated with it. So that is a way that maybe it's a smaller element and then more information can be found elsewhere. There are some concerns cities are in discussions about with QR codes. The greatest concern is if it were anything where we're saying, like, donate here, and then it could get somebody to another site and be scammed. Here, probably, you know, the worst they could do is just make it hard for people to get information. But it is just something that cities are thinking about with QR codes on permanent locations. And so the thought being that because the poles exist, and the need to kind of get that pedestrian eye view on it, that this might be technically an appropriate element of interpretive signage, but what that signage looks like, what materials that are not presumed by what I'm showing. I'm just saying that that's, you could take the narrative, the materials of something like this, and then use this technology to attach it to the full, which I think, you know, the then mayor, now council member David Morrow was on public tours, as were other members of the public. And I think when they were talking about something that you, the PAC, might consider, they were talking about something typology more like this and technology something like this, right? Like that's the narrative of that. That's the visual images I have. I think as process, you guys don't get a lot of public, so I want to remind us of process here. You get to ask me clarifying questions. You don't discuss the item until the public has had a chance to make their 3 minutes of comment, and then you have discussion after that and take action. So are there any clarifying questions of either of the presentations or the staff report? I think in the staff report, one of the things I highlighted is this may be a new responsibility, right? A new program around plaques. And if the current scope is, say, $5,000 to do three external, I'm just spitballing, right? $1,000 for an external panel and $300 to $500 for the internal ones. Say that gets to 5,000, say that's an average. We never know with the visual art grants how many will be murals versus other elements or exterior, you know, appropriate for a lab. And so, you know, maybe that's just an appropriate assumption to make that it's going to be about $5,000. It happens every 2 years, you know, over a 10-year period, you're going to have, you know, $25,000. $7,000, $35,000. And currently there are funds available to do that. Of course, it's, you know, funds that would otherwise fund art. Certainly we have been trying to get private developers. We've changed when we have conditions of approval that have more language than comply with the art program, which doesn't say you have to have a plaque if you're a private development. But if we have additional conditions where we're writing that out and giving them information, yeah, we do require a plaque of our private developers. So just thinking about the city as modeling the best practice we're asking of our developers as well to fill in these holes. And you could take this action tonight without committing to future actions, but it's certainly appropriate to think of it as a program development. So you could a more limited scope, or you could broaden it to kind of a program and a commitment, you know, a recommendation for future investments. And I think that that's it for what I'm
Just, that's where we unpack it, but could you just clearly state what the action being requested is on the program.
I am asking for you tonight to make a recommendation on if you want to recommend installation of interpretive panels on the three Packard sculptures, and to add interior plaques to the two works at the senior center, if feasible. I mean, you know, there are some constraints on that. And that no plaques at this time are recommended for donated works. I reviewed the works in City Hall that don't have donations, and there is a variation in this building. Some do and some don't. Those that are exterior in publicly accessible spaces do. Those that are behind publicly accessible spaces do not. And there's three works where that's the case. And then there is two works that are part of that a collection that we have always continued to have those sites be available for new purchase awards, but the donations are sitting there until such time as a work was received, and maybe they'll be permanent. But in that context, it didn't seem that any of the donated works that don't have plaques now need them. So they were discussed in your report, but the recommendation tonight, and you could add donated works if you wanted to, but that's why they're not included, is for the two internal, you know, standard plaques for two works, one at the senior center, or both at the senior center, and then three for these exterior works. And in a lot of ways, this item came from a request for interpretive panels, and then we, as staff, thought it would be appropriate to review the collection and give you, so that's kind of the cleanup on those last two. And then I think the third possible action, and then is being recommended, but that you make a recommendation for the which works you want plaques to be. A program that you would want plaques to either be considered for interpretive panels or to have plaques automatically created for them in the visual art grant. Like, do you want to have a third recommendation, a recommendation about what to do for current gaps in the plaque program? But you can also make a recommendation about if you either wanted to come back and talk more about a program around plaques and the visual art grant program and donations, and how you would prioritize them and fund them and continue that program. Or you could make a recommendation to me, should you feel that appropriate. Any other clarifying questions? Call for public comment on the item.
Are you calling me? I'm John Q.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Public Park Committee. This is cool little room.
It's very nice. Newly. If you could state your name for the
record. Yeah.
This is better. I'm Packard, and I have three of the sculptures here. So this came about in part because I was on a tour touring these sculptures with David Mora. And he really was curious because I read a statement about the work, and he's like, oh, that's what interesting. And he wanted me to send it to him, and then this conversation kind of came up from there. So the reason that and I'm not here to fierily advocate for science, but it does seem like a reasonable thing to approach. I would hate for it to take away grant money to fund other artworks. Which I think would be something that I would be balancing if I were you on this panel. But I think there is a reason, like a lot of times you'll see signage in a gallery, it'll say the person's name, the year, the material, little sign, and that works really well for a lot of things. I think the reason that these may merit a little bit more information is because there is a bit of conceptual aspects as well as utilitarian aspects to them. Amber alluded to some of them. They're placed really high. They're angled sometimes at a funny angle, and that's because the dimensions are specific for the chestnut-backed chickadee, which is a bird that's on the decline in Emeryville. And so, and it likes it facing east-southeast, and it warms up, helps warm up the nest for this little bird in the morning. They should be coming to nest in the next month, so hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll see at least one of them get inhabited. And the other couple reasons, environmental, there is a, it's made with environmentally friendly materials. It's made of a material called Akoya, which is this fast-growing pine that is deacetylized. It basically takes all of the organics out of it with pressure and heat and makes it extremely stable. And it's a renewable resource. It's a process developed in the Netherlands. And then the other reason is there's a conceptual core to it. They're all buildings inspired by grand architecture with the idea that these spaces are ways that humans, we cultivate spaces for to kind of cultivate power or reverence or awe or inspiration. And then by giving these kinds of spaces to the birds, it's kind of elevating their status and kind of talking about how we need to, you know, take a bit of care, a little more care for our environment as we devastate it. And there's also the back, you'll see some geologic strata on some of these. And I'm trying to just hint at the idea of epochs and time and geologic time and how, you know, how short a period of time we've had in this oversized footprint that we've had since we've been here. So there's a conceptual core in there that the public might find interesting. There's environmental stuff. There's stuff about the chickadee. There's reasons that you might want signage. As far as the options that you presented, the one that sounds interesting to me is the idea that something like this could actually accept a wood carved panel kind of glued onto it would make sense, because the pole, this would be, I guess, maybe a visual person height. And that's pretty, it's pretty chunky on the pole. The pole is like 10.5 feet. So it's got a big presence. So if there's a big sign there that didn't feel somehow attached to the work, I think it maybe would stand out a little in kind of an awkward way.
You'd want the materials to
complement. I think so. Yeah, I think that would be best. I think that the other possibility is something a little more minimal, and then maybe a QR code that goes to where there's a further description. Because I think right now it's to kind of a general arts website, right?
Yeah.
So maybe there's a way that we could have a QR code that went to all the names, and you could have a little bit of information and for more. Something like that. Anyway, those are my thoughts. So you have a lot to wrestle with. I'm sure you got other stuff to do. So there. If you have any questions, okay.
Are you guys?
Yeah, by the way, I was up there today. I was giving a tour to a few people. They're all on the northern end. If you want to go see them, they're on kind of up near the community garden, all the way up to the bike counter. And I was up there today and I used Merlin, which is a little bird app. You can make a new bird calls and identify the birds, and there were chickadees around.
Would any of these signs be readable from Byblock? I mean, or do they add the line to it?
Something
that
they're all. Three of the locations are visible from the sidewalk. To be able to read print at the site, you would probably need to step off the sidewalk. These are all in one case on the greenway, it's a DG path that's adjacent to it, so appropriate for accessing. In the other two cases, they're plazas or open space, landscape spaces within either community gardens. Sort of foyer.
They're not stepping into gardens.
There is an appropriate approach to anything that would be viewed on any of these three points.
The one with the bike counter is like a little bit deep in the woods off the path.
Yeah, for sure.
The other two, they're like very approachable.
Yeah.
Especially the one that's by the children's park.
Yeah, Toy Hall's park.
There's people all around it. Yeah. And there's always people wondering, like, I want to know more about this. What is this? Why is it here?
So discussion about either the specific and then build to the broader question, or you're welcome to stay, you're welcome to go.
I'll think for a minute, and then I'll let you guys do your thing.
So either the specific, right, like, what are we doing here? And maybe, you know, at this location, not a lot to talk about with the two plaques. Interior, that's just a binary.
I'm going to let you guys.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara, for coming.
And then sort of, do you want to talk about a bigger program, or do you want a bigger program to kind of lead into those decisions tonight? I've seen a lot of notes on
defense. I love taking notes. I got a
few ideas to help jumpstart the conversation. I think my first thought was like, what are other cities doing? And then I was thinking, like, is this something that would be standardized? Would it be the same type of sign for every piece of art? And what would that look like? What order would we go in? Would we go in from start to finish? With the artists
going forward, maybe?
But I mean, I feel like, I think there's a lot of pieces that, you know, really could help with a sign, but I don't know if every one of them.
So the rest of the pieces that you may be curious about are on private property installed by private entities.
So that's the line.
That's the line.
Public place.
This is art in public places. Money was used for it. I hear you say and agree that within the private sector, there's a whole bunch of works that don't have plaques, and there's questions and there's intrigue. And going forward, we're trying to fix that for the bigger projects, at least. And certainly we have artists that we say you should ask your sponsors to do that for you. But it would be difficult for staff to have the time and ability, but also to have a way to approach private owners to say, we want to do this on your property. That isn't a question I've come to you tonight to ask about doing. You could ask for that as a future item, as a separate one. But I think for tonight, it's just the city.
And it can be a suggestion to private owners saying, we think this is good, but kind of make a couple of general notes. One is the thing about plaques has to revolve around the artist's intention. That is to say, do they want you to know what it is? Because Jasper Johns doesn't want to tell you. He says, it means what you think. Whereas Dorothea Lange, every time she took a picture, she tried to talk to the person, and she said, the text is connected to the image. I don't want you to say it. I want you to understand it. Mm-hmm. And I always want to know more about why the artist did something or what it means or, you know, because the orientation, I never know that. So I think it's really good to interpret as much as possible, you know, within a financial
condition and all that. I agree. And I think, you know, I don't think there's going to be like one solution that solves everything here. I think they might have to come up with a minimal, just a bio of like what it is.
Yeah.
Like the most, you know, minimal version of it that's just kind of like the artifact. And then this more interpretive one, more informative one, gives you the opportunity maybe like, go to a QR, do a page, and get more context. So maybe there's like a solution for like the informative one and then like the minimal tactical one that's just like the artifact.
Yeah, I think that related to the question you've asked and how you've defined it, there is a question about when is a standard plaque in, as described here, the only accompaniment of a city-sponsored installation versus when is interpretive. And maybe that's something that's added to, like, a box on the application. Are you seeking an interpretive panel? And maybe it's part of the grant, or maybe it's a stipend that's added to the grant. Or, you know, there's different ways to think about that. To Rick's you know, do they watch it? And certainly in the case of Packard, it's both the artist and the public that are both after, you know, sometimes the artist might want to tell you more, but you don't want to spend the money because nobody needs to know more.
Self-promotion. We did a lot of this work with the map, too.
Right. Yeah.
So there is a resource to find who the artists are.
Right.
To look at it.
Yeah.
Well, one thing though that Wareham's guilty of it being me is not identifying. Well, first of all, I don't have enough plaques like I should. But the other thing is that it would be good. I'm saying that we ask people who are putting art in the public places program to identify it in that, on the plaque, that it's part of the...
As part of the
Part of why that is actually crucial is that when buildings are sold, the person buying doesn't really have anything that's triggering for them that this art stays here. Mm-hmm. And so when they're not attached, sometimes they leave with the guy who's selling his building. That has happened. Yeah. But And other times, you know, leapfrog, they came in and things that were on the wall, they were moving things off the wall, and then the collection was gone. And then we had to go back and figure out what that cost was, and then they put it on the exterior, which was probably a better solution for people to actually be able to see it. But plaques do help ensure that the asset is understood to be a requirement versus...
Yeah, I think so. My piece, in the beginning, I left some postcards with business cards there. And when they finished, she would call me, Kim, do you have more? Bring them. You know, like people ask.
That's true.
So I'm glad you're doing that.
Yeah, but I think the other part of it, too, that amplifying things through the QR code is a real mutual. It's the parts of the state park or national park that had to pass with QR codes. They didn't put signs.
Yeah, this is found in Emeryville here today as part of the Emeryville Historical Society, where they have a picture, very little additional information, and then the QR code that is specific to the building, right? So each of the QR codes on each of these is to a different description of what, you know, it's showing. So, for example, there could be three different QR codes for each of the different installations.
Because one of the potential problems I see, especially on the external installations, not so much on internal ones, is that we've had a limited amount of space in Emeryville, and unless you're kind of building that information within the specific art, you're just going to start taking up more and more real estate in terms of signage here, signage there. So it's going to be, there's a potential for a lot of clutter.
And more to contain.
You know, so I'm in favor of like the QR codes just because it can be very simple. Somebody can build it in. You can have a QR code go to something that's a narration and it talks about the piece. Mm-hmm. So you could be experiencing you could get the experience hearing what the artist is saying or whoever the narrator is. And it's talking about the specific piece.
Mm-hmm.
That way, because it's like, I just can't imagine signs everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And I can just imagine as we continue to build, and that's just a potential problem for me.
Yeah, I can see like a version of this that's, you know, baseline, like everything does get just the artist bio accreditation, like a strip. You just kind of attach it to the artwork. You know,
right.
Artists would have to kind of like be comfortable and maybe decide, you know, where it is. But it's like, you know, it's something small. And like, that's just something that every piece just sort of has the option to put on.
Well, they can put it into their art. I mean, it's like they could check the box, like you were saying, check a box. We'll include it within artwork, or we will attach a whatever the dimension is with your name and little descriptor about your piece.
Like the big murals. You know, all the seawall stuff, they had a whole thing with, like, you know, stencils and everything. So everything was, like, clearly marked. And that's very normal for graffiti artists and mural artists and stuff. But when you start doing statues and you start doing installation work, it's like, you kind of want it to be a little bit more formal, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess there already is a lot of variety in what...
It's already out there now. Yeah. And then to me, like, these kind of things, like the pole wraps and stuff, that's experiential. That's like experiential work where you're stringing it to multiple different touch points of an experience, which is what's great about this one. It's literally the path, right? And you're kind of following along. You look for these
lights.
But like Packard's thing, it's the same thing. He's got three pieces that are completely far apart from each other, but they're all connected as one piece.
Unless you don't look up.
Unless you're
signing unless you were blocking the hole.
Yeah.
But to somebody's point, if you're using the map that we created, isn't it kind of, I haven't used it, so I can't speak to it personally. Doesn't it get, it's a walking tour, so does it talk or anything like that, or is it just?
It is not a walking, well, so there are two separate tools. One is a printed
map.
The other is a GIS system, which has every artwork as a point.
Okay.
There are not routes or trails through them. There are separately on our website some lookbooks that are those kind of tours, like, hey, you're at Bay Street, you could find art here. You're on Wareham's campus, you can find art here. But those are not on the geographic information system. There is just a point, right? You click on it, and his work actually needs to be updated, and we're between interns. It's not a great example to look at on the GIS, but it also is an example of without people updating it, it can be outdated.
So here's a nice question. Can that GIS system be updated to have a narrative? That when you press on it, it takes you to the spot and it also talks about the piece.
If that is the interest.
That's a programming thing.
If I may claim it, I respond to the question. The city currently has a provider called AutoCast, which has two narrated tours. One is of this building and the artworks within it, and the other is the Cultural District Partners at the time. It is now outdated, but at the time and where they're located, and then there are videos and there are narratives associated with that. And if there is interest in that, given we've already... It's fairly cost effective. We already are using that platform. I think we could do another AutoCast narrative around tours. But I think that's probably through that that app, that tool, rather than the GIS having narrative added to it.
Okay. The pedestrian counter seems to average around 1,000 people a day in bicycles. Very few of those people will go to the GIS. They provide the information, probably to the QR code.
Yeah.
The simplest, most direct thing.
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask. Is this a typical app that anybody would have?
AutoCast? No.
No.
But reading the QR code.
Right.
That's it.
Definitely. But the expectation is for like the website. But like right now, the QR code that is on Hypergenic is actually there. It just goes to the package where like all the collection page, right?
The collection.
But it's like
it goes to the website.
No, I'm saying it could go to the neutral thing.
Right.
Yeah. I'm saying like you could. If we had the ambition to do it, like to actually have dedicated pages within the directory of the Emeryville's website to have a listing for each piece of artwork, where you could have like a bio page and a description for the work, and then just drive to that.
We have had a growing collection as a PowerPoint that has that basic information on it. The work that was done was to take that and put it into the GIS, so I'd be a little loath to come back out. The things we've included, we pulled out tours, you know, so you're either following the Greenway or you're on the marina or you're at a facility to have more of that specific. I could imagine having those pages being the pages that are in the tours having two R codes that follow the same ones you would find on the poles, right? Here you can learn about these things you're seeing on those pages, and that would be fairly easy to do once that QR code is to put it back on the door. So I haven't heard anyone say, I've heard more support for QR codes, smaller installations. Is there any discussion of using other materials, or if you want to standardize to, you know, like this as a program? Is there an Emeryville Visual Art Grant with QR code and basic information about the work kind of placard that you're moving towards when you say have a QR code, or are you, you know, do you want the information that's on a standard plaque plus the QR code for any interpretive material?
I mean, I feel like it's almost like a case by case, because it kind of depends on what the visual art thing is. So
the Packard installation is the question before you.
Yeah.
And I think one of the questions in it is, are you willing to go, do you want it to be a standard that you set for future work, or do you want it in a program that follows it, or is it unique and something that's being done, because these works in this location, just like the RCCD sculpture, has its one-off panel that is made of the materials that are part of the art installation.
I think Trent just made that, didn't
she?
Yes, he did.
I'm going to make it. Right, but it's not a bad example for what I think Packard is thinking he would have.
What is the angle to talk about as well?
What if instead of a placard for each individual piece of art, what if it's like a, like what you see, go to this website to see all the works in every film. What if you put like a more uniform sign? You're going to put the money into it, put the sign at all the locations, or some of them.
That is what we had done with QR codes. It was for the public art page, which has of its four buttons, I want to see more art. So one could say it's not going to the collection, it's not going to the piece, but we would to keep it as generalized as we have, because there's no page that's, I mean, we could have it go to the GIS. That is what we could do instead.
I guess that's my thought. Like, it's great to promote the artist, but is it better to promote what the city's doing, all of its art?
But that doesn't tell people what they want to know. They want to, I want to know about that. Yeah. You're going to have to read people's lives. And once you have to go through a site, you know, I don't have time to do that.
Because all the artists submit in the package that we gave the city their statement. I mean, it's already part of the program. Yeah. So they would, you know, that would be available, I would think. Because using this as a Packard as an example, it is really interesting. I agree. And but he talked about a lot of things that would be a big sign. And he wants us to
agree.
Okay. So is there more discussion, or is somebody feeling like there's a motion to be made around both? For Packard, what is to be done, and what and/or a program? Are there questions you have?
Maybe the one last question, or maybe just a statement. Like, I could see, spitballing here, just like a version of this program where we establish a standardized model for the plaque. Super minimal, just like a bio artifact. And that's just the standard that I'll get. The second version is these more immersive version of it that's more uplifted that we work directly with the artist on.
Could they pay for it?
Anything. I think like what Trent did, and it's like so specific to the work, right? We don't want to set a standard that's too strict where it's like, oh no, you gotta do this one way. And even Packard's talking about how he thinks it would be nice if we had this version of this thing that complemented the work. We don't know how to complement the future work until we see it. So there could be a reality where it's like, hey, everyone just gets a standard plaque, super minimal, basic. It just has the most important information in it. And if the artist wants to, we can work with them on doing the experiential version of it, which is like this. And we get input from them. You know, it's like, oh, this one's going to be a wrap and it's going to use the wood and they're going to get it like, you know, CNC'd or kind of like laser etched or something. Mm-hmm. And then maybe we have to give like a cap on what the cost that we would actually provide in that version could be. Then it's like, you know, it's an option for the artist. It's like, you can take the standard or you can work with us and we'll do a little bit of money to kind of do an uplifted version of it.
That make any like fairness issues if some installations have a much nicer, bigger plaque?
Well, that's why I'd say like we just kind of determine like, hey, we're gonna give like $2,000 or back in less, I don't even know, of like what we are willing to kind of give to help support that. And then if they want to go even bigger, they can get money themselves or something. But at least then it's like you get around the fairness issue of it's like, hey, we'll give you $1,000 to kind of work up this signage that works for you.
Yeah.
Anything that you want to go bigger, that's on you. You gotta add to it.
Are these the grants that are like $17,000, something like that?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like if we're giving you $17,000, we don't need to be doing extra in terms of creating the experience of what your art is. So either build it into your art, or we have the standard thing that you're talking about that says John David, blah, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Now, if you want more than that, it's like you have the option of trying to work that into your artwork if you feel like it needs to be explained more.
Or maybe a proposal.
And or, you know, the information that we're putting on the website. I mean, we've got a variety of different places that we're putting this information on. So I want us to have the money to be able to give money to artists to do art.
Yeah.
And keep on, like, we're going to get lost in the weeds by, okay, we need to get more money so they can explain their art. Like, we've got a lot of different avenues that we're doing that. I feel like getting extra money for that is beyond the scope.
Yeah, that $17,000 isn't a lot of money for these pieces, and they need every penny to do it. And they're coming up short, too.
You know? But being an artist, it's still money. This is money somebody's giving you to do something. Like, you can always say it's not enough, but it's more than nothing, you know.
It is fair to say that the program at running the visual art grant has always said this is a place to experiment. That's what the words I say to artists in workshops about applying for it. This artist learned a huge amount in the process, and is literally preparing a new grant award to do one, right? For probably the same amount of money, but doing the foundation and doing the pole, which the city supported this artist by doing the foundations and the poles because that was not in their capabilities or where they were. I am fearing, if I heard the narrative you proposed and the pushback you got, that perhaps there's a model plaque, a QR code is offered in that model plaque, and the artist can create whatever narrative, picture, video, anything that goes with that that they want. But there's not a cost. There's time cost associated with that, right? But they're not having to design a sign or getting more money for new materials but that standard model plaque is a QR code that is specific to their work with content that they want. Now the city would probably want to review it, you know, or we might, you know, but so far we haven't had anybody. I mean, the closest we've gotten to censoring anything was the graffiti work here in City Hall had graffiti that was in a photo collage that said "Bring the Bank." And we're like, can you take that from me?
Yeah.
The city can't promote.
Yeah.
It's not our bank. That's fine. Let that be quoted. Okay. So I guess you had started to move towards a recommendation. I heard some pushback on it. I'm wondering if that is.
I have one more clarifying question, maybe. So it's like, I understand that, like, you know, the budgeting of this, of like what it's going to cost. I think one of the things that maybe we'll be up was what did it cost for Trent to make that sign, for the Joey Rose installation. Do we have like a ballpark of what that cost to make this sign?
Yeah, so that's where that $1,000 came from, was that going on the right. I recently replaced that.
Yeah.
And it was $1,000 just for the insert. So
for the insert.
Just the insert. So, you know, $1,500 with the length. $2,000 with the installation, right? And I don't have a lot of the public arts program is supposed to pay for its own installations, not go to the public works crew. And certainly there's not a lot of capacity for the public works crew to be doing installations like this. And we're begging and pleading for the artwork things, let alone the plaque attached to the artwork.
We have a lot of maintenance for the wood plaque.
Well, and placards materials is potentially a material that lasts longer than this right here. So it would be interesting if we started to learn that those materials, I mean, one of the things that's interesting about his installation, in addition to the birds and the conceptual art and the art, is the material, because he originally proposed painted sculptures and determined that that would be a risk to the species, right? So backed away from that, but then needed weather protection and chose a material that wasn't treated. And so that's still part of the experiment, right? We'll see, is that true? But it has implications for benches and plaques and all sorts of things if you can have an untreated wood that is weather resistant.
How did the conversations go with Joey Rose on the installation of that stuff? Was that part of that grant? Was it?
That was a mural solicitation, so it wasn't part of our visual art grant. And I believe my recollection, it was another staff person who was the project manager of that installation, that there was... The mural call was something like, you know, it had a budget of $60,000 or it was $80,000 or whatever it was. And this artist came in under that. So there was money left in the project and that money was used for it. But it was a lot more money, right? You know, and visual art grants, that same artist was doing walls those size with visual art grants and wouldn't have, any.
So one of the other things I was thinking about, like even if we go into a plaque program, do you want the plaque to be the same, or do you want it to be? Do you want to give the artist leeway to make it unique to their artwork? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, we're inside here, and basically all those things look the same, right? But I mean, when you're outside and it's different types of art, do you want the plaque to look exactly the same? Or, again, do you want to give some leeway to the artist?
Yeah.
They follow the parameters in terms of the information that's on the plaque, but do you give them some leeway to make it unique?
Yeah.
Well, I think the thought was that could be done online or with video or... I'm just saying the navigate. You are now.
I'm speaking to two things. I'm speaking to something else. I'm not really speaking to the QR keys because I still believe in the QR keys. But even within that realm of a standardized plaque, is the formatting standardized in the sense that it's going to look the same here, it's going to look the same here, it's going to look the same here, or do we give some leeway that?
I think that a question to you for consideration is that there are a number of different sponsors of art in Emeryville.
Right.
And do you want to brand the city's investment in public art? And that would be the answer to why you would want a program. It's just like Pangea Seed, they have a standard print on it, and you know it's one of those 15 murals. I mean, some people don't, but some people are getting that information by seeing that placard. Whereas if artists design them, people may have no conception of where this art comes from. Just as David said, what about all these pieces that I want to standardize, and those are all done by private.
Yeah. But it could be as simple as just putting the Emmyville symbol on the piece.
Just something to build a grand continuity between these things. It's like I could see a version of this that is we create the standardized basic plaque.
Right.
And it has like, this is what everything has. It's got like a little bit of like the logo on it, whatever. It's part of the PAC program, whatever. And then you have the artist's interpretive version. If they elect to go down that road, maybe they fund it themselves as part of the program. But then within that, we just have like a couple guidelines.
Right.
Where it's like, you got to include this mark. You got to include this piece of content. And then otherwise, those are the parameters that you can play around with. And then we show them a few examples. Oh, look what we did for, you know, the RCCD thing. We did this over here for another thing. And you give them some inspiration of previous artist collaborations that you've done.
Yeah.
And they can choose how much they want to spend out of their budget or how little you want to go. But regardless, everyone will get the standard plaque if they choose it.
Everyone gets the standard space on the QR page.
And then you have a clear road forward of just two options. It's do nothing, get the plaque. Elect to and get a little interpretive inspiration going, propose it to us in your submittal. It's like, with the work, here's my idea for how I would use a little bit of that money to do the up-level version of the plaque.
Is that a motion?
I'll make the motion.
And did everyone understand the motion? That in the 2026 visual art grants, there will be a model plaque that will be developed for those future ones, and it will also be applied to prior installations. A QR code would be included within that. That would go to either the standard we have for every piece of work there is a sheet that could be pulled off and it could go to that. Or it could go to something the artist wants to develop. And that in the 2026, this is potentially something I would send out as an email, like tomorrow, that says, if in your budget you want to allocate grant funds to a artist design plaque, please specify that in your budget. That is an eligible grant use. Otherwise, you will be provided a standard plaque. I mean, that could be an outcome of an action taken today. Those are due 27th.
So the only thing that I would potentially add to that is if we can figure out what the dollar amount is to create the plaque, the option is that if you don't want the standard plaque, we will give you X number of dollars towards you creating your own.
I can't do that by the 27th, but in future, I could help.
This is a visual grant that we're talking about.
And I think the question, because I asked this before, is what do you want to do about Packard? You know, do you want?
I think give them the option, the leveled up version option.
Meaning, are you prepared to allocate funds for the provision of interpretive signage at the Packard Jennings installation, which is not a current grant? He doesn't have any funds left. So do you want to allocate dollars as an example of what that said leveled up is or to for an action tonight that you then have sort of a program of how you would, what other artists would do if they were taking in some budget assumptions about that.
Do we have a sense of like how much money we would?
The other thing is maybe you're just offering the model plaque. Maybe it's that Packard is the first that gets what the 2026.
Oh, the standardized plaque.
The standardized plaque with a QR code that then the artist designs the content that is going to it.
Yeah.
So with that kind of understanding, we understand what's happening for Packard. We understand what's happening for the 2026 grants and future grants, and that it's There will be money invested in a standardized plaque with QR code, with options for artists to create, and otherwise they can use grant funds, which maybe in future years will be added to, or maybe it won't, but right now are $17,500, and if they want something fancy, they got to take it out of that grant.
Very cool.
Okay. And that was a motion from Mike.
Second.
Are we ready for a vote?
You're clearing that up.
Thelma?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Corinne?
Yes.
And I?
No, me, yes.
And Rob?
You guys want to see what's happening at Florida Street?
Sure. Is it a sign?
There are a lot of. Was there feedback? Are you guys about to feedback? Wasn't there going to be some meeting or something where the public was going to give feedback? I thought there was some retail control.
After you, the PAC, reviewed their conceptual design, final design. It went to the Bike and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and feedback was provided both from your committee and that committee to the artists, which was then incorporated. And this, with a couple of changes based on comments that were received there, this is the final design as proposed to be brought back to the city council. I believe it is consistent with comments that you made, so there is no action for you tonight. I'm providing this to you so that you can see the changes as were, I believe, responsive to that. If you are not in agreement with that, your option is to go to the city council and say, there is a problem. But you will see. So just to the scope, one of the things is to have consistent signage that's reflective of the project, and that includes a logo design as well as some standard signs. So this is a standard sign as you would see it in Oakland or Berkeley today and adjacent communities, and the artist has proposed, this is not the right one. Hold on, I'm going to stop sharing this one. Who's sleeping? Stop sharing. Apologies. Okay, yeah. Where's that? No, sorry. I'm looking at something different on my computer than your computer. Yeah, it's a different dance. What do I got? Gotta stop sharing somehow. Okay. Godwits and Swallowtails were the final design incorporated into the signage. So this is no options, just the final design.
Cool.
I need to move you guys out of my way. Okay.
The bike move.
What?
I'm just talking about I say it's the bike move.
And then for Bike Boulevard, this is the final design. There was talk about making it look more like a family. So you have baby and adult. They're all going in the same direction. Nobody's getting run over. Everybody. Yeah, I'm gonna be on this. So I think, you guys talked a lot about that. I was very pleased that design by committee works.
The bicycle would have been cool too.
But it got a little bit thick. This is further modified. So this is the option that was shown to you. This is how the Transportation Sustainability Committee saw it. It is further modified so that the wing actually becomes the end of the E and it's a little thinner.
It reads a little more like an E.
A little more like an E.
It is
further modified so that wing becomes more of a bar and it becomes a little more E, and it's just, this is, I don't know why. You guys have seen this. This is a different. So this is as it went to the Transportation Sustainability Committee. I'm having version control.
Probably in your pack. Let's look at the pack.
Let's just look at this. You were sent this, so let's go.
Yeah, it's in there.
Yeah, it is. Where's that? And the point, let's go here, and then let's go. No, it was.
Yeah, and then it goes to the bus shelter packing.
Yeah, I know, but it's not the right one. Hold on. You're gonna look at that. Which you'll remember you had thought this was very crowded. It came back with a very simple image that was kind of part of the two elements. And instead of having the two different halves, we just brought the other side over. I'm going to. I do apologize. Get drinks. Talk amongst yourselves.
That's what's in our packet.
Yes, and what is in your packet is not the latest. You were sent something, and between when you were sent your packet, she got this to me, and I do apologize.
Sorry for reading it to you.
No, that is okay. I am pulling up a link. Good one. It's been great working with this artist. If ever you need an artist that wants a recommendation, every time I talk to her, what I see is what we talked about, and I think she was really responsive to the BPAC and the the PAC.
Is it just those two panels?
The racks, lean bars. You had been very concerned about the lean bars, that elements were kickable, and that has now been addressed. So I'm going to stop sharing, and now I'm going to share that. Okay. Now. Okay, my app. So here, for the final design of the logo. My apologies.
There we are.
And now for that bus backing. So just a simple, continuous poppies and mushrooms design that had been featured on the cover and got brought back here. As simple like the first one. These, none of, there are no changes here. Actually, that is not true. For example, simple things like, hey, the raccoons don't have eyes. How the raccoons have eyes. what character was added by doing so? The lean bars, these are now internal and have connection points to it. There were still questions about how stiff is this? How trappable is it? And so the public works director recommended that this be approved as the design. And before we do installation, that we have a sample of this and we look in the materiality and are there concerns? Do we need to put a mesh behind it or between those elements? Or do we need to add any other elements for this to be safe and sturdy, durable? But these are all new designs. To respond to not have anything on the exterior that people could get caught on or tagged on, additional species added.
I think that was in there before, right?
Mm-hmm. There was a stumps. We did talk about. So the only thing that's different from your packet as you received it, which included many changes, a number of changes, including these, is that the stumps are no longer stumps because we didn't think that was an appropriate way to reflect flora and fauna in the project, and now mushrooms, the entrance and the bus screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so the final changes after the Transportation Sustainability Committee, based on their comments, and there are no further changes. This is as you have seen it, except for it is new as it went to the Transportation Sustainability Committee that the squirrel, like the squirrel flying, that is where it was. And it even has a little lean bar. It looks
like a squirrel now.
It looks like a squirrel now.
Does the squirrel have eyes like the other animals?
The
squirrel doesn't have eyes.
Yeah,
it's eyes closed.
The animals
are so adorable.
They are. I love the colors.
Yeah.
So I don't need to go through the rest. There aren't any changes. And the rest of the elements, except for to say that they did respond for this element. This is since you talked with them, both you and the BPAC talked about fingers being caught. And so all real panels include a solid white backing panel laminated between the cut layers. This concealed layer prevents finger access. Cut openings will maintain the visual lightness of the design from the front. We like those words. We've also, the public works director said, let's get a little mini one of those and figure out how it works. And so they'll build a model for this. And I think that is the end of the changes since it was brought to you. It is now, as I've just shown you, this version is intended to go to the city council action. The intent is for it to be brought, I believe, the second meeting of April, because the project, 40th Streetscape project, is going on the first meeting of April. So we thought, let's bring the art after the project has gone through.
That is for 6.1.
That is it. There's no, it's an information item.
Great. We can move on to 6.2, public art.
So this is that traditional, you know, glue thing here. I will say the visual art grants are out today. There's at least 25 artists who have talked to me. There were over 50 or 60 that attended two-day workshops. So there was a daytime option and an evening option, and there were 30 at each one. There was both a Zoom option and a person, and they were well attended with questions. Some returning artists, lots of new returning artists. We sent out to over 300 artists, 150 from the RCC database, but 150 that I have from all the calls we do and prior solicitations. And so we've received one already, which is rare for anybody to have a grant submitted 2 weeks before its due date. I am actually out of town when it is due, so I told everyone I could that would listen to me to submit by the 25th when I'm still in town. I can answer any questions and technicals. And my intent is to confirm all received ones. We did have some technical issues with our bus shelter program. I'm using this the program we're using for solicitations. So we think we've done the technical fix for that. It was allowing too many characters, and then the files were saved in a way that they got shunted off because there were no characters, and now we don't allow that many characters. And so this is anticipated to be before you, the PAC, in April. And then the City Council in May, and then funds available by July 1. We did ask in this application if people would like to install in October of 2025, 26, or in 2027, or could, for reasons they wanted, you know, they wanted to do it for spring flowers. They didn't need to do that, but if they did, then we could kind of help with programs for the Rotten City Cultural District and Art and Culture Month, have some art openings in that month. Public Art and 40th, you just saw. I told you that that's moving forward to the City Council in April. Attached to your to this packet was a mural that is being proposed. It is not in the program. So here an example of people can think it's in our program, but this is just Rivian has branded their facilities with murals by local artists. And so that work is being installed voluntarily on their behalf. But it is anticipated, I guess this is to say, we have not done a mural call, and we do not anticipate doing a mural call because we're getting between 3 to 6 murals from the visual art grant with a compelling, artistic, clear, curated vision. So there's has felt like there's been need. The bus shelter program, there were bookmarks. I see some numbers have them. They were placed out on the front. This is a new designer we have for the bus shelter program. That she's doing the same layout for the bus shelter, but this is where we got to see sort of her creativity and individual imprint on it. So these are a little bit bigger. This was the cycle where we added artists as well. So we physically went bigger as we added artists and had a few other elements added. And that QR code has been a part of that program for a while now. And that does go to the bus shelter program. So that QR code, if you use that bookmark, which is now becoming more like a flyer, it goes to the bus shelter program, where you can learn more about each of those artists that are participating in their bio, and those are available. The purchase award, the celebration in January, not well attended by the pack. Thank you, David, for
attending. Just sold out.
Well, we're
But it was a really lovely interaction between the artist and a lot of artists in the audience, and dialogue about the craft.
That was neat. That was effective.
Yeah. And so there were really good questions and really good answers. And I think everybody, the discussion you were having earlier, Rick, about like when does narrative help and create and what, and the artist wants to have more understanding, and certainly that occurred in the evening and is a theme of those receptions. Very nice aspect. The social media campaign, I won't lie, I just haven't had capacity. I mean, I'm talking to artists every day for the visual art grant. And so other than, hey, apply for the visual art grant, there hasn't been anything there. But with the new boards here in City Hall, materials being prepared for those that also go on the city's Instagram page, which has a much larger following, maybe not as curated, but a much larger following of citizens. We've been kind of leaning on the city's social media. And the purchase award reception was marketed there as well. We are recruiting for a new intern, so hopefully some of those things like the GIS and social media posts could be something that they could take on. The Art Center development, since the presentation in November, there hasn't been a specific action, but I do think there is, the Art Center is moving forward to a city council agenda. I don't think that's been set, but it's getting set, like it'll be more April or May, or it is, or earlier than that. And I will certainly share with you the PAC when that's scheduled. My understanding is that the last advisory committee for the Art Center said, you know what, there's just not capacity. Nobody's going to give you $50 million as a non-entity. You need to do some programming in advance of that. And then there's question of what is the Rotten City Cultural District's programming versus the Art Center's programming, and what might a nonprofit look like that could be the program in front of a facility. And so I've been in some conversations around that idea, but I think that might be something that's brought to that council action. And there is also been some talk about using Art Center money for things like temporary walls that could perhaps be part of the program of, you know, an Art Center with walls, but without walls, the Celebration of the Arts, Rotten City Cultural District, all benefiting from the use and shared potential. So that's another possible early investment in the Art Center. The Cultural District had Kalani Ware in through January. He is now moving out of country, but has left a mural on the wall that they're keeping up for now. And the film festival is the next intended use of that space. I think on February 28th, Robbie, so the LGBTQ plus film festival is occurring on February 28th, and then Friday before that is having an event in that Bay Street space. So a lovely event. If you want tickets to that, it's separate. Last year they were together. This year they're separate. So February 28th is the LGBTQ Film Festival. And then March 21st is the Emeryville Film Festival sponsored by Rotten City Cultural District. Those tickets are now available. The films are being selected right now and will be selected by the end of the month. So you have to decide if you just like the idea of the film festival without knowing the films. There is now a humor section. San Quentin's films will be featured, which I saw in the Parkway and was just phenomenal. Pixar will be returning student filmmakers and up-and-coming professionals like Ben, recognized at other festivals but are starting. So those are the six cohorts, I believe. And then the cultural district is also in, I was just in a conversation, I think yesterday, is in communication with San Francisco Estuary Partnership. They are a regional government entity that I partner with for sea level rise. And they said, what's this about this cultural district you have? And are you the right person to talk to? I was like, yeah, actually, you've got me sitting right in my wheelhouse. And so they are asking ABG Art, or the Friends that they have, ABG Art Group has a Friends, a nonprofit entity, who are, that entity is being offered as fiscal agents for the visual friends, and is who may partner with San Francisco Estuary Partnership, or it may be the partnership contracts with the city, because maybe Soul Source doesn't work for them, but they can grant to the city and then we can do it under our contractors contract. But so that is an artist residency specifically regarding sea level rise and a vision for Alameda County, and broader than Emeryville, but. And then Art and Culture Month, it is anticipated to use these visual art grants. There are some, there are still monies that are also available that were not part of their contract amendment from their last, from their prior contract. So they are still moving forward with projection. The idea of having a mural perhaps on the Greenway with projection of other artists' work, or written spoken word, perhaps using the poet laureate had a few years ago, Sarah Kobrinsky, had done an ode to the Nobel. She read it when she was announced, and it's been framed and sold at the Celebration of the Arts show for ongoing years. And he's like, and Trent was very excited about having that poem put on a mural and then these projections of the cultural images from it.
Quick question about cultural district. Did they ever, I have not found any kind of wrap-up film about the cultural month, all the things that
happened. Yeah, that'll be at the partners meeting on Wednesday.
Okay.
I just saw it.
So it was there on the website?
It will be put on the website. There had some imagery that those of us, it was a project management meeting, looked at it and said, hey, you know, don't have Blessing Hancock's sculpture be something that looks like you're talking about Art and Culture Month. And that was just the videographer had that video. And so they need to say, you know, show the mural that was put in that month or the sculpture and kind of reorganize that. But before it's ready to put on the process. But they're about ready to do that. And I was just in a meeting with the 24 cultural districts that the state now has, because they added 14 new ones, including a Black cultural district in Oakland, and a Native American, one in San Francisco. There might have been one. There were certainly Lodi. There were a few in the middle of the state and out of the state, and then there was San Diego and LA, and then we got two or three here. I know Berkeley had applied but did not get the cultural district, but Oakland did. So there may be some collaborations and some possibilities.
I thought Addison Street was a cultural district for them.
Yes, so it's a city designated one, and they tried to get state designation, but they didn't get it.
Okay.
I think it was a Oakland bested Berkeley. Like they were both focused on Black artists and history and Black Panther Party.
I really do think it's close.
Yeah, so I think that's what happened. Preservation Arts contract for maintenance with a focus on the first work being on preservation art. being on Peninsula Telltale. I think Peninsula Telltale will take a little more of that than was anticipated between the electrical, between the scaffolding and their proposal, but that's how we wrote it, was spend what you need to spend on Peninsula Telltale, and then we'll come back in January and talk about what else. Do we need to add more money, or is there with the remaining scope something? For neighborhood convergence, the trail design is at 95%. And that MTC did bring back the design, leaving those works in situ, and so less costly, less potential damage, a revised project from the last time it was brought to you. So we'll need to work up new budgets and understanding of what leaving four of those in place. What that budget will look like. And you also talked about potentially having, if there were savings, adding maybe some elements to the fence so that it's not that harsh entrance to the city. There isn't a lot of new public parking generated. But Benihana is moving forward with its sign, and they're building a Torii Gate, and they asked if the Torii Gate could be the art, but they didn't hire an artist to do it, so now they're paying a fee to build the Torii Gate. So that's the only new art and art fee received.
What's the timeline?
That just happened now, so I don't know.
What do you have, the old Chevys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They haven't done much yet. They put some signs on the windows.
They put signs on the windows, and this is the first, which is the railing and the Torii Gate. So they had some.
When did they plan to open?
I don't know.
They haven't gone through the planning commission.
I think this is fully titled.
Okay.
I think it's just building permits now.
Right.
Well, that is it, unless there are questions for your art projects update.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I had a question apart from the art projects. You said 300 artists in Emeryville?
No, they're not all in Emeryville. So the visual art grants, you don't have to be an Emeryville resident.
Oh,
and also, like, the Celebration of the Arts, those artists, some of them work here. I would say, if I were to guess, probably 150 of those are Emeryville artists. And
so you give grants to even outside the Emeryville, like the artists from?
So the visual art grants are eligible to anyone, but the work has to be in Emeryville.
I see.
The bus shelter and the Celebration of the Arts require you'd either work or live in Emeryville. So it continues to be, the goals of the program are wide. So getting money to Emeryville artists is one goal, but then bringing art for the quality of life. Mm-hmm. So two of the programs get our artists, and the visual art grants, in some ways, I think having outside artists have made them more coveted by Emeryville artists. Like in the first rounds, Emeryville artists weren't really paying attention to them, and then some pretty great art came out of it, and now I've seen a lot more Emeryville artists come to the workshops and participate and explore it, and perhaps also raising the dollar amount also helped. So I think you're at future agenda items.
Yeah. 7.1 and RCCV curated shows?
Well, for future agenda items, I think as process, really the question is, are there any new ones that I think we're going to have?
Yeah, I have an update on this whole art situation. Mm-hmm. I started talking to them maybe 6 months ago. Got very little reception feedback with far. And then just recently, I got a very positive response of, yes, we're really interested in discussing with the city what it might be or how it might occur. And they sent me sent me a calendar to fill in possible times. And I thought it was going to be the head of the tribe, the Confederated Divisions, but not. The tribe also has a land trust, which controls the land in Berkeley. And so that's the big organization of the tribe. And that whole staff of that wants to meet and have preliminary talk. And then my sense is, I want to make sure that you're really interested in it or you just want to talk for a while. And then, and their schedule is very crowded, so that meeting is scheduled for April 1st. And the idea is, based on that, if it looks like it's real, then we would schedule a discussion item and hopefully have one of them come to talk and present or ask a question to us. So it seems like it may be real. I'll meet with them on April 1st. Just wasn't sure it was going to happen all of a sudden. No.
So move 7.2 from TBD to May.
Yes, I think May is very good. And we'll have a reality check after the meeting. I'm excited about that.
And I would say that regarding the Rotten City Cultural District, I have not been able to have any conversations about the Celebration of the Arts and what they want, though Chad and board members started to have some conversations that may impact that. But I don't think it will be something that can be brought by next meeting. In fact, so March, I don't know if you have anything on your March meeting. Would you like cancel it at this time? We had been kind of trying at the rails to get the visual archives to you, and it just didn't work. That'll be coming to your April meeting. You certainly have an April meeting, and it'll be a good one to talk about those visual archives, but I think March you could just cancel.
Busy
month for me. Yeah. So see you all in April.
Do we have any announcements or comments? Can we just remind everyone, I guess, we have our presentation to City Council on March 17th. I don't know, Ron, are you here?
I'll support you.
There you go. You 3 months. You can go to the City Council. Oh,
so
what
is
the presentation? On a yearly basis, we present to City Council and just show them what we did over the course of the year. And they get to take a break and enjoy lovely art. It's the easiest part of their day.
Amber, can I bend your ear for 5 minutes after this?
Sure. Great. I guess we can go ahead and adjourn. So the February 12th, 2026 Public Art Committee is adjourned at
7:22 p.m.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
You went to 8:31 time, I think.
I know. Yeah.
I shouldn't complain. You guys did have a very late night one. After midnight, is that right, Karen?
Yeah.
No, no, boy.
I'm on that line now.
Well,
we split into two parts.
Great. Yeah.
That was so memorable. Things with
us. Trauma bonded.
You have a new resident?
My new one.
Oh, that's nice.
I think by being lower, you and another person who was lower both got to be in. If everyone had done 17,000 as you had, you might not have gotten it, or he might not have gotten it, but somebody wouldn't have gotten it. I just, the first one I received, it's for, I think, like, $4,000. I mean, you know, there are people who are doing huge murals, and I know they could get paid more to do that.
I know. I was being very reasonable because I spent about $3,000 and I charged $6,000. That's what I was doing.
What I heard one artist, and maybe it was Richard Joe, say getting 25% of, you know, artist fees for your grant is reasonable. So it sounds like you did well.
Actually, what I was saying that since I wasn't working every day, like, journalists would pay and I was just getting it done.
Right.
But I was paying them.
Right.
But then I thought being reasonable, you know. But anyway, just curiosity, how things work. So March, we don't have meeting.
What?
March, we don't have meeting.
March, we won't have a meeting. I'll send out our calendar.
Thank you. Nice. I see my painting next time. It's too dark now.
Okay.
I have to go up. Thank you, Dick.
Bye, Paul. Well, have a good night.
Yeah.
Ever gonna help
him
clean up anything?
The only thing I could possibly use help with is that I thought my computer was getting low, and so I plugged it in and then it went black. And I'm supposed to save this recording on my computer, and I have it plugged in and it doesn't seem to be turning on, and I don't know why.
I am not a tech guy.
I will be a little distracted over here while I'm trying to figure this out.
So my buddy, good friend that I've really gotten to be close with, you know, through the school, and truly like the first real sense of community I've ever felt has been here in Emeryville, has been asking me, run for the school board. And I was like, no, I'm going to do it. I don't want to do it. I have a better understanding of, you know, how the city works, and, you know, my degree is in public administration, so I was always interested in doing more. And then he asked me again last week, and it just so happened to be when I had a really bad day, or my daughter had a very bad day.
At school.
At school, and I was like, God dang it, like, kids are doing this crap. And he asked me, and I was like, yes, I will do it.
Well,
so I want to run.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
You have Kristen Day endorsement, so you're a shoo-in, my opinion.
I hope so. Kristen likes me. I volunteer for the school a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't want to give up PAC. And from what I've seen, I don't know that there's a conflict.
I don't see whether
it doesn't look like the meeting dates, because they do